Chapter 30. Promises to the Suffering. He who took humanity upon himself knows how to sympathize with the sufferings of humanity. Not only does Christ know every soul and the peculiar needs and trials of that soul, but he knows all the circumstances that chafe and perplex the spirit. His hand is outstretched in pitying tenderness to every suffering child. Those who suffer most have most of his sympathy and pity. He is touched with the feeling of our infirmities, and he desires us to lay our perplexities and troubles at his feet and leave them there. In all the sufferings and afflictions of man, there is an eye to pity, a heart to love. God's tenderest care is exercised over us. He pities us in our weakness and in our sorrow. We may be despondent, even despairing. The heavy clouds of affliction may be over us, but there is light ahead. Beyond the gloom is a sympathetic, compassionate friend, one who does not willingly grieve or afflict the children of men. No one can appreciate the blessings of redemption unless he feels that he can joyfully afford to make any and every sacrifice for the love of Christ. Every sacrifice made for Christ enriches the giver, and every suffering and privation endured for his dear sake increases the overcomer's final joy in heaven. God never leads his children otherwise than they would choose to be led, if they could see the end from the beginning, and discern the glory of the purpose which they are fulfilling as co-workers with him. Not Enoch, who was translated to heaven, not Elijah, who ascended in a chariot of fire, was greater or more honored than John the Baptist, who perished alone in the dungeon. Of all the gifts that heaven can bestow upon men, fellowship with Christ in his sufferings is the most weighty trust and the highest honor. I urge you in your suffering to stay your soul upon God. The Lord will be your help, your strength, your comfort. Then look to him and trust in him. We must receive our consolation from Christ. Christ feels the woes of every sufferer. Never was there another whose sympathies were so broad or so tender. It is a mistake to entertain the thought that God is pleased to see his children suffer. All heaven is interested in the happiness of man. Our heavenly Father does not close the avenues of joy to any of his creatures. Christ's true disciples follow him through sore conflicts, enduring self-denial, and experiencing bitter disappointment. But this teaches them the guilt and woe of sin, and they are led to look upon it with abhorrence. Partakers of Christ's sufferings, they are destined to be partakers of his glory. He who died for the sins of the world is opening wide the gates of paradise to all who believe on him. Soon the battle will have been fought, the victory won. Soon we shall see him in whom our hopes of eternal life are centered. And in his presence the trials and sufferings of this life will seem as nothingness. Suffering has been the portion of the people of God from the days of the martyr Abel. The patriarch suffered for being true to God and obedient to his commandments. The great head of the church suffered for our sake. His first apostles and the primitive church suffered. The millions of martyrs suffered, and the reformers suffered. And why should we, who have the blessed hope of immortality, to be consummated at the soon appearing of Christ, shrink from a life of suffering? Were it possible to reach the tree of life in the midst of the paradise of God without suffering, we should not enjoy so rich a reward for which we have not suffered. Jesus identifies his interest with his chosen and tried people. He represents himself as personally affected with all that concerns them. His sympathy with his people is without a parallel. He will not simply remain a spectator, indifferent to what his people may suffer, but identifies himself with their interests and sorrows. If his people are wronged, maligned, treated with contempt, their sufferings are registered in the books of heaven as done unto him. I was shown the saints' reward, the immortal inheritance. Then I was shown how much God's people had endured for the truth's sake, and that they would count heaven cheap enough. They reckoned that the sufferings of this present time were not worthy to be compared with the glory which should be revealed in them.